Good morning. Today's scripture, we start with Luke chapter 12, and we're going 32 to 34. Luke 12, 32 to 34. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Second scripture comes out of the Psalms, chapter 27, starting at verse 1. Looks like we're doing 1 to 3. Psalm 27, starting at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. This ends the scripture.
Thank you, Brian. I'd like to invite the children to come down if they're here today. No, oh, that's right. I'll get it. Okay, thanks. Has anyone ever snuck up behind you and went, rah? Did they ever do that to you? Did you go, ah, like that? Did you jump a little bit? Ah, like that? Yeah, me too. Yeah. Now that my hearing's going, I don't hear it as much. So. What was that? You know. All right. I have four kids, and one of my little girls, when she was only about this big, would sometimes have a bad dream at night. Did you ever have a bad dream at night? Yeah, some people do. A lot of people don't. But every once in a while, she would have a bad dream. And she would come down the stairs so quietly. I never heard her. I was sleeping. And down the stairs, and she would stand right by the side of my bed. Okay? So that my face was laying on the pillow like this, and her face was right there, and she'd be going, I didn't wake up right away sometime. Daddy. So I go, wah! Like that. And she said, Daddy, I've had a bad dream. And I'm scared. And she was scared. Yes.
I was 10 on the night, and then I got all of them now. And I got 10 on all of them now. And I can talk nice, and that's
That's right. That's right. I hope you all heard that. She turns the lights and all that stuff, and then it gets better, right? Yes. Well, what I would do is I would get out of bed, and when she was little enough, I'd always pick her up and carry her up the stairs, or I make sure she didn't have to go to the bathroom, and sometimes I gave her a little glass of water, a little sip of water, if she was thirsty. And then I would take her upstairs, and I would put her back in her bed, and I would tuck her in, and then I would kneel down next to the side of her bed, and I would take her hands, and I said, let's pray together. And I would say, dear Lord Jesus, watch over my precious daughter. Keep her safe. Fill this room with angels that just love her and help her to know everything is good. And we'd pray for a little while. And I'd say, do you think we can turn the light out? And I would turn the light out, and I would go back and kneel there for a little while. And I'd say, are you ready? She'd say, okay. And I would go back downstairs. Do you know why I did that?
Yeah.
I didn't want her to be afraid.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Mom, you have to come up and translate for the old guy. Yes. Anyway, today we're talking about how God doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to be afraid of people. He doesn't want us to be afraid of stuff that's out there. He wants us not to be afraid because he promises to be with us. And so I want you to listen for that in the sermon, okay? That's what we're going to be talking about today. So I have a treat. They're all the same. So you can just grab one. There you go. Oh, don't shove. Don't shove, honey. Just one. Just one. No. Just one. There you go. There you go. It's okay. It's okay. She's fine. There. She's learning. That's just fine. Here you go, honey. And you get one. Here, come grab one. Here, honey. There. You want to grab one, too? Take one for mommy and daddy, too. Good. Well, they've uncovered Planet X. You've seen that, right? When Mark Belling talks about it, it's got to be true. Someone walked to me and says, "Who's Mark Belling?" I go, "Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so old." Stuff all around us. Some of it kind of unknown. Some strange things. Planet X is supposedly the 9th or the 10th or 11th planet, depending upon. If you're old like me, I always count Pluto. Right? I don't know who they think they are to just take Pluto away from us like that. I had to memorize it with Pluto on the end. The least they can do is leave it up there. And then now there's Planet X supposedly out there. It takes 10,000 years for this planet apparently to go around the sun. And I thought, wow, all these scientists and all these brilliant people took this long to uncover it and figure it out. But it's popping up on what we would call mainstream kind of media. And you have to dialogue at least a little bit about it. And there's good stuff about it and bad stuff about it. And some people are asking some pretty interesting questions. And you can find yourself getting concerned, apprehensive, and maybe legitimately so. We are told that in the end times, there will be signs in the stars and the skies and wonders and deceptive things. All right? And so you're going, you're trying to sort through, is this legitimate, is it not? Should I bother to listen? That's exactly what Belling was doing on his show. He said, "What do you guys think? You think NASA's right? You think they're pulling our chain? You think this is real? You think it's not real?" So your assignment is to go home and go on Google Planet X and come back with a lot of insights. So, that's out there. We're not even talking about, praying for Milwaukee and we have another death in Milwaukee and another death in Milwaukee. And what we have, 7 this week or 5 this week again? And you kind of go, oh my goodness. And we got all these kinds of situations around us. We have politicians that can't figure out how to practice integrity. And if they practice it, they say things that are just mean and nasty or stupid and foolish or whatever it all is. Well, in the middle of it, I, like you guys, have jobs to do. And one of my jobs is to teach kids. And this assignment, which I'm just going to read you a few, but this assignment was given like this. I would like you to describe a time when the flesh was running your life. Flesh, obviously, is that force inside you, your sinful nature. You received it from Adam. You all got it. And it's absolutely powerful. And you got to remember, when you were born a? And that means you were born to sin. That's why you do it so well. You have to remember that. This isn't mysterious. This is, no one teaches you how to sin, right? So that's how they begin to learn and understand the flesh. And when the flesh is running you, it shows up in all kinds of evil thoughts, attitudes, behaviors. My flesh can be running me right in the middle of church. I can be sitting there and just grumpy. I can be sitting there and bitter. I can be sitting there and be judgmental. I can be sitting there and be hurting. I can be sitting, worry is a sin too. Isn't that interesting? Worry and pity parties. That's flesh, right? I hate that. Why can't God just let us have a pity party? And he goes, I'll let you have your pity party, but it's flesh. What good does it do you? Well, I like to talk to myself and pat, you know, you're going to be all right. And I go, you understand, flesh never, never, never rewards you, blesses you, or does anything for you. It only destroys your heart, your attitude. It inhibits the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It prevents God from working in you. And here you are living in the flesh. And so that was the first part of the challenge on the presentation. The second part was, as you now pick that spot of living in the flesh, I want to know what you did to get in the Spirit. Okay, that was part of the assignment. What you consciously did to get in the Spirit, and how did it work? So that was the parts of it. And simple things like this. I've gone through multiple times of temptations this week. This temptation is not sent by God, but through my own making. When my brother returned home from winter break, college, I knew I was going to face difficulties. We do not have a strong or good relationship. So, my actions resulted in my flesh taking over. Over the past week, I have been suffering from mono. The patience for my brother's actions were limited, but I knew that it was time to grow up about my thoughts toward him. And so, instead of yelling or beginning a fight, I stayed calm and did not react to his remarks. I prayed for that ultimate patience that only God can give to overcome my childish thoughts for a family member. Over the last couple of days, my brother and I have been finding solid ground with each other. A change for the better has been made, and I feel God working within our relationship. The struggle has gone on for the last 6 years, and I'm thankful that there's a difference being created. By choosing to live in the Spirit, I can find myself letting go of the negativity I was once bound to. Isn't that neat? It's a power. It's a testimony. It's a, God is bigger than the problem I'm facing. Every one of us have had sibling junk on and off, varying degrees. And sometimes it's only with one of your siblings that you can get along with all two of the others, three of the others, or seven. But this one, all right. This weekend, I was mad at my mother and I didn't want to talk to her. I didn't want to say sorry to her. And I wanted to stay mad. I decided to think, calm myself down, and tried not to be in the flesh anymore. I thought about her feelings and how I wouldn't like to be treated that way. What made me go into the Spirit was thinking about my mother's feelings and being in a much more calm state. What didn't work was being focused on myself and not paying attention to God. I was much calmer, and I wasn't angry anymore, and I actually wanted to apologize. Nice victory. Lately this week, I found out that I was very judgmental of people. Before I even knew them and their story, I'm usually very quick to judge by looks, first impressions. The flesh was running my life because I continued to judge people. I noticed I was judging people because in a writing workshop, we presented something about ourselves and the people that had previously that I had previously judged in the class actually were the exact opposite than what I thought they were. They were actually amazing people with beautiful life stories. And my sinful flesh and my old Adam made me judge them before I get the chance to know them. I got into the Spirit by the process of prayer and repentance. It worked because I noticed a change in my heart. I noticed I was no longer in the flesh because I had no more urges to judge these people any longer. I want you to know both the battle and the victory. I want you and I to be walking in this because when we start focusing on that verse that I had Brian lead in Luke there, I want you to understand God is actually saying, fear not. Don't be afraid. And you know, these are real life situations. They're sibling rivalries, they're pettiness that we can get caught in. They're I don't want to forgive my mom. They're all kinds of things that are real. And people really get caught in that. And we're also in that category. I got one here. My final example of being a disciple of the Lord and not hiding my faith. Yep. That's not the one I wanted. Where is she? That I apparently cannot find it. Maybe I'll come back to it. This one. After my basketball game, I wasn't very happy because we had lost. I fouled out, so I was mad. I didn't want to talk to anyone. Is this a guy or a girl? You can't tell. Good, I know that. I walked with my head down and slumped. I looked up once and saw the other teammates and their families all smiling, and I realized how selfish I was being, how much I was living in the flesh. I then counted my blessings and reminded myself of how much I have to be thankful for and rejoice in. I looked at my friend who had come to my game and I smiled. I then didn't care about the game, but I lived in the spirit and had and became a pleasant person. That was a girl, in case you needed to know. I was arguing, and that got me in the flesh. In the morning before school, I was arguing with my dad because I forgot something and had to go back and get it. When we arrived at school, I started to realize that I had been living in the flesh. After school, I went home and read some scripture passages and prayed. I decided to get out of the flesh and get into the spirit because I loved my dad, and I was definitely not honoring him. I was breaking one of God's commandments. Prayer really helped to bring me peace of mind, and the scripture passages helped me to realize that I had been wrong, trying to realize it on my own, and didn't work. After getting into the spirit, I apologized to my dad, repented to God, and began listening to my parents again. One or two more. In the past, people have jokingly made fun of me because I'm Mexican. And it happened a couple of times over the past week. And it's more of a, on the joking side, but when it's constantly happening, it's more like harassment, which over time, it just hurts. When someone says something making fun of me, I was taken over by the flesh, and I wanted to just yell at them and nudge them to stop. But I knew I can't fight fire with fire, so I killed the flesh, and I got into the spirit and told them politely to stop, and then encouraged them to talk about something else. It worked at that moment, but it still happens every once in a while. Then I know I need to keep in the spirit in order to get a handle on these particular feelings. They go all over the board. They go all kinds of situations where they were at a party and they wanted to smoke. Now kids, when kids say smoke, they're not talking about cigarettes. And then the challenge of, I need you to take me home. What they're learning is that God is bigger than the situation that they're dealing with. And what I wanted to do is not make something up, but read to you what real-life 17-year-old kids go through, and the power of God as it begins to work in their life, and it has this ability to take them from a moodiness, a temperament, a judgment, an anger, a bitterness, and you don't, Ryan, we don't always realize how easily we not only get in the flesh, but we justify the flesh. We justify it like my own. Hey, I'm the teacher. You got to do this and this and this. I have a right to be listened to and obeyed. I have a right. And you fill it in with all your justifications. And all you're really doing is continuing to feed the flesh as you continue to live in the flesh. And then you justify the flesh. And you wonder why there's no change. It's because, like Scripture says, you've quenched the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is very much interested whether it's something as silly as winning or, and I don't want to say silly, but something maybe as winning or losing a game can be, or an argument between a brother and a sister. God is very much desiring to kill flesh whenever it tries to take over your life, whenever it tries to lead you down a path with the wrong friends and the wrong attitudes. God's looking at you, tapping, going, I love you. Will you please let me in? But your flesh slams the door of your heart and it shuts God out. And then you go, no, I want to mope. I want to complain. I want to hurt. I want to be angry. I want to be unforgiving. And you read it. And some of the kids, depending upon which one I read, take sometimes it took me all night. I didn't feel different till the next morning. And finally, Mom and I were able to work it out. Finally, we were able to talk it through. And you begin to understand that process of getting out of the flesh is absolutely important to recognize for you to know the victory that is yours in God. So I had Brian read this verse that I had him read to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. This is the one out of Luke 12 again. And then he goes on to say, sell your possessions, give them to the poor, and provide purses for yourselves that won't wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where thief cannot come near, nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You mean my heart is in the middle of my bitterness? Yes. You know what you're treasuring? Your woundedness. You treasure bitterness. You treasure unforgiveness. You justify your anger at your family. Well, if they would just listen to me. If they knew I was the head of the household. How can they treat me like this? I'm the mom. All right? It goes on and on. Right? Do you understand? When we start being challenged by understanding this, God is simply adding to this point. He says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. What are you really worried about? Why don't you find out? Why don't you test and see? Why don't you understand my love for you? And what he's trying to do, and it's as simple as a 17-year-old kid going, I realized my mother's feelings for the first time. I said, God, you're going to have to help me because Pastor Harmon said we can't change on our own, and by goodness, we're certainly not changing. You're going to have to change me. I have kids that'll say, I was listening to this rotten music and I was really in a horrible mood. So I went into my room and I dug out this CD or something she had gotten in eighth grade. And she put it in and she said, I couldn't believe how different I was by the end of the songs that I was listening to. And what they're discovering is not something that I can give them. It's the power of God in your life. Do you understand? You cannot live off my faith or the person's faith sitting to your left or right. You can be encouraged by it. You can be challenged or encouraged by some 17-year-old kids, but you cannot live off that. You have to taste that victory. You have to understand it on your own. I was really ready to get angry, and I knew the Spirit of God called me and said, this is sin. This is wrong. I did not want to quit, but God called me to do it, and so this is what I did. And there's a variety of things that start to move us from the flesh into the spirit. It can be something as simple as prayer. It can be something as, I got to call you up. Well, what's the problem? I'm just really in the flesh right now. And just stop. We'll pray. Dear Lord, be with my friend right now. He's right now struggling with pornography. And I'm just praying a victory for his heart and his spirit, Lord. I pray that there would be a blessing over him that would just purify his mind. You understand? In that moment where you finally deal with yourself, where you finally come to the end of yourself, you understand God's victory is over the flesh to take away fear, to move you in directions until finally, like the thing verse points out, I'm even willing to sell what I have so that I can make a difference in the life of somebody else. I have this unbelievable opportunity, and it becomes so important that until the Spirit of God grabs a hold of me, I'm just a regular 17-year-old kid. And I can get angry about anything under the sun, and I can become unforgiving and bitter toward my own mother and father. I can go down the list, and I can find myself at the stinking party doing the things I shouldn't be doing the whole time the Spirit of God is going, leave this party, you're in the flesh. I love it when I finally teach kids and they go, and I shared it with you before. I love it when you finally look at them and I say, when you're listening to that music, is your flesh coming alive? You understand? They used to argue about the words. Well, this word has bad names for girls, and this song has some swear words. And I go, forget all that. That's for children. Here's the question. When you listen to that song and you put that music on, are you in the flesh or the spirit? If you're in your flesh, you're sinning. For you, it's wrong. For you, it's sin. And you understand, when God comes along and he commands you, don't be afraid. He's not doing it to be mean to you. He's saying, stop being fearful. I am bigger than the situation you're in. I am able to give you a victory over these feelings, emotions, attitudes, and behaviors. And if you remember some of the struggles that you had growing up in adolescence, it's certainly not an easy time of life. Not that getting older or anything else is necessarily easier, but you begin to understand when the kid actually is able to say, I did honestly see the power of God working in my life. And that becomes the miracle, because now they don't need me. It's just you and the Word. It's just you and the Holy Spirit. It's just you and your bitterness, hurt, anger, whatever your struggle is. And you begin to go, God, you gave me a victory over this. I'm going to trust that you can give me a victory over this situation too. And life is very unpredictable. That's the hard part about it. We just don't have any idea how the day is going to go. We have no idea how situations are going to turn out. And sometimes the wall in front of us can just be huge. And you understand, when you look at the picture of that hand picking up the smooth stones and that hand digging in the ashes or mud or whatever that was, reaching down to grab the jawbone of a donkey in order, you know, Samson, in order to kill Philistines, and all the rest of the things. And he goes, with 300 men, Gideon won. You need to have your testimony and my testimony. You need to see my hand up there reaching for the jawbone in my situation. You need to hear a 17-year-old boy or girl reaching for five smooth stones saying, I believe that God is bigger than my bitterness and my anger for losing this game and for fouling out. I believe that God can solve the problem between me and my mother and I who never get along. And that becomes both the challenge and the power of what God wants to offer us. So when he speaks these out, he says, don't fear. And I love it, this little flock. He's speaking to his disciples. This is an intimate moment. He says, don't be afraid, my little ones. And little flock, my little lambs, okay? Because it is God's good pleasure. God has decided to give you the kingdom. This victory is not something you have to earn. This is something you have to live in. You understand the difference? I use the analogy of a credit card. And on the credit card, in the fine print, it just says right there, unlimited credit. No limit. And God hands it to you and he says, this is love, this is grace, this is the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you go, thank you very much. Life sucks, my life. No, nobody understands me. I don't care. You walk around like that, and God looks at you and says, child, cash in the credit card. It's there for you. No, I just prefer to complain about how hard life is and how poor I am, and I just don't have any power, and I don't have any joy, and I just, nothing will ever work for me. Nothing will ever work. And that's flesh. And you got, once you pick it up, you go, holy cow, that's all flesh, yes. And God goes, why do you stay in the flesh? What kind of man are you? What kind of example are you leading for your wife and your children? Why would they want to follow you? Why would they want to copy you if you're this moping, grumpy, bitter, angry, hurtful, whatever it can be, and you have no idea what it means to live in the Spirit? Why would I want to copy you, Dad? Why would I want to be like you? Remember that song where the kid, the cat's in the cradle and silver spoon, little dog left and there's something over the moon or moon over whatever it was. And it says the boy, the father just never entered the boy's life. And as the boy grows up and the father wants to see the son, the boy says, I've grown up just like you, Dad. And I go, is that really what we're teaching? Yes. You cannot live in the flesh. It is never useful for you. It won't make your marriage stronger. It won't help you at work. It won't empower you to solve a problem. It won't give you a victory over bitterness, anger, worry, frustration, sickness, or disease. You've got nothing. You might as well stand at the doors, holding them shut, and going, God, you can't come into my life. I prefer bitterness, anger, and whatever it is. Can you imagine these same stories? I lost the game, and I just decided to be bitter the whole night, and I didn't talk to anyone. Well, what victory is there in that? What healing power, what presence of the Spirit is in that? I had this fight with my mom, and I just decided I was going to be mad at her forever. Well, where's the victory in that? Where's the grace in that? There is none. And so that becomes the challenge. Fear not, little flock. He points out, it is in the heart of God to give to you the kingdom. It is yours. I'm not telling you you have to work for it or earn it. I'm telling you, tap it. Dig into your pocket, hand it right out into the middle of the situation, and run the thing across whatever the scanner is, whatever it's going to be. And God says, unlimited credit. Take as much as you need. I can give you a victory over a basketball loss. I can give you a victory over your hurt. I can give you a victory in the heart of the situation you're in. I will not quit. And it is already yours because I have loved you that much. It is there and available to you. I'm not angry when you don't use it. I weep over you when you don't use it. I weep because you infect your family. I weep because you pull your life down. I weep because you get your priorities out of order. I weep because you miss love. I weep because you miss communication. I weep because you miss opportunities to witness. I weep because you're not getting the fullness of my presence in your life. And I want to bless your family. I want to bless you so much more than you can possibly understand. And so when he speaks this out and he starts identifying, please understand, as he points out, fear not, little flock. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All right? God says, grab hold of the things that matter. The moment these kids start living in the Spirit, they begin to accumulate testimonies. And as soon as they begin to accumulate testimony, they now discover that the power of God is real. And I do not have to tell them about God's power in my life ever again. I can still testify to it. I can still bear witness. But they will stand up and they will give a testimony to it themselves. And that's the power of the intimacy with God that he longs to have with you, that he can speak to your heart. Fear not. Pray with me. In you, Lord, is all hope. In you we are more than conquerors. In you we have victory. In you we have life and holiness and righteousness. In you, Lord, whether we're 17 or 77, whatever you have for us, Lord, is so unlimited, so powerful, that it's able to tear down the walls of not winning a basketball game, of the hurtful words spoken between a brother and a sister, of words that have been spoken in bitterness and hurt and anger between a husband and a wife, in things that have festered in a family for years and years. God, you are bigger than. And so I pray that we would hear your promise, fear not, little flock, I have given you the kingdom. Lord, make that sure in our hearts and help us to step out in faith. Teach us to walk in the Spirit, not the flesh, and let your victory be in our lives. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. It's the offering.